on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Ooh, yeah. Started with a whisper, a spark in the air. Dreams in my pocket, no one was there. Built it brick by brick, a vision in my hand. Now I'm crafting my story, building my brand.
Listening to the G-Ray Records Music Network. You enjoy. Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're the place you come to when you want us to take your sources and really pull out the most valuable insights.
That's right.
And today, we're diving into a challenge that, well, it's been perplexing a lot of independent artists in this digital age.
Mm-hmm.
How do you actually make real money? You know, beyond those tiny streaming pennies.
It's a huge question.
It is. And you sent us some great stuff. We've got a transcript from the Top Music Attorney YouTube channel and also a research paper from G-Ray Records called Sell Your Music Before Streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today, let's cut through the noise, unpack these different takes, and maybe give you a shortcut to understanding what looks like a really new kind of empowering way to handle music monetization.
Yeah, empowering is the right word.
Okay, let's unpack this because what we found here, honestly, it feels counterintuitive, but maybe incredibly effective. It might just flip how you think about the music business.
Well, what struck us right away from these sources is just how fundamentally broken the economics of streaming often are for the artists themselves.
Mm.
For years, artists heard, chase the streams, get those numbers up. But the reality, it often leads to just, well, disappointment. Financial struggles.
Yeah.
So we're going to explore why streaming maybe isn't the final destination for revenue, but actually more of a marketing tool,
mm-hmm.
and how artists can sort of flip that script to build, you know, sustainable careers and actually deeper connections with their fans.
Okay, so let's get right into that core idea.
Yeah.
Sell before you stream. When I first saw that phrase, it sounded a bit like, I don't know, turning back the clock.
A little bit, yeah.
In a world totally dominated by Spotify, Apple Music.
Oh.
Why on earth would an artist focus on selling first? It feels like swimming upstream, doesn't it?
It does, and that's exactly the paradox these sources are digging into. The first and maybe the most critical point is just the stark reality of streaming economics.
The pennies.
The fractions of a penny. Platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, they pay out what sometimes as little as $0.00003, up to maybe half a cent per stream. Artists pour so much into creating their music, time, money, heart, only to find they're just not getting paid what it's worth. That YouTube source, it mentions an indie band, over 1 million monthly listeners on Spotify.
1 million a month.
And they still struggled
Yeah.
Really struggled with monetization until they tried this direct method.
A million listeners and still struggling. That's actually shocking.
It is.
So it's not just about the reach, it's the model itself. It's kind of broken for the artist.
Fundamentally, yes. And if you connect that to the bigger picture, like these sources suggest, streaming platforms basically become the last stop in your release plan. Mm-hmm. They're marketing platforms, really, not your primary income generators.
A million listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Scraping by. That really puts it in perspective. So if streaming is the last stop, how does an artist actually do this sell before you stream thing? Like, what does that look like in practice? For me, as a listener, or maybe an artist listening right now.
It boils down to a sort of do-it-yourself, direct-to-fans model. So the artist releases their music, could be a single, an EP, a whole album, as a digital download. Mm-hmm. Directly to their fans before it goes wide on Spotify, Apple Music, all those.
Right, get it first.
Exactly. And the sources recommend doing this, you know, through your own website. Maybe use something like Wix that often lets you set like a $1 minimum per download. Or popular alternative like Bandcamp are great for this too.
Bandcamp, yeah.
It's about taking back ownership of that first transaction.
Okay, so the artist can sell direct. Makes sense. But here's the big question, I think, from the fan side. In this age of essentially free streaming, why would I buy something I could probably get for free, maybe just a bit later?
Uh-huh.
What's the the secret sauce here? What makes fans actually open their wallets?
And this is where it gets really interesting psychologically. The sources point to basically two key reasons why fans actually love this.
Okay.
One, it makes them feel special, part of an inner circle. They get early access, plus this unique chance to directly support an artist they really care about.
Yeah, that connection.
It shifts them, you know, from just passive listener to active patron. And two, and this is what the sources call the secret sauce, it's the pay what you want model.
Oh, okay.
It's not just about charity. It turns the transaction into this direct exchange of value, patronage. Fans feel like real partners. Mm-hmm. And when music really hits someone, really resonates, fans are often willing to pay way more than the minimum dollar. The YouTube experts share stories, you know, artists seeing fans pay $5, $10, $20, even $50 for a single song.
$50 for a download.
That's because it just means that much more to them than the, you know, fraction of a cent the artist gets from a stream. It becomes an emotional investment.
An emotional investment piece. That's fascinating. But okay, beyond the immediate cash, what are the the bigger strategic wins for this sell-first approach?
Mm.
What does it mean for building a career that's actually sustainable? You know, not just riding algorithm waves.
Yeah, this brings up really important questions about value and ownership, especially now. The G. Ray Records paper, it really emphasizes that selling music first helps you reclaim revenue, obviously, but also leverage scarcity.
Scarcity? Mm-hmm. Like limited vinyl drops.
Exactly like that. Or exclusive merch drops. It fundamentally shifts how people consume the music from just passive streaming to an intentional purchase. It cultivates real ownership in what they call the attention economy.
The attention economy, right. That fight for eyeballs.
Yeah. And another really powerful thing the sources highlight is the creative control and, crucially, the data transparency artists get.
The data.
Direct sales give you this goldmine of info, emails, maybe demographics, direct feedback, stuff that streaming platforms usually keep locked up.
Yeah, they don't share that.
So you're not just gaining listeners, you're building an actual community.
Yeah.
It positions the artist less playlist filler and more like a cultural brand, a movement leader. They mentioned Prince, Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, legends who built moments.
Meticulously crafted moments around their releases, yeah.
That direct data, emails, demographics, yeah, that's a goldmine. But let's be real for a sec. For a lot of artists, the idea of managing their own website, handling sales, collecting emails, building a list, that sounds like a ton of work.
It can be.
Almost like starting a whole other small business. Do the sources kind of address that initial hurdle, that learning curve? Or do they just assume artists are already tech gurus? And what are some practical ways to actually do this? What kind of messages work?
They definitely acknowledge the learning curve,
yeah.
But they argue the long-term payoff is just huge. And they do offer practical ways to make it easier.
Okay.
Artists can create pre-sale bundles. Offer the track bundled with merch, a t-shirt, limited art print, whatever, using platforms like Shopify or Big Cartel. They handle a lot of the e-commerce heavy lifting.
Right, simplifies things.
Or set up fan clubs or subscriptions for early access. Use Patreon, Substack, things like that.
Patreon, yes, see that a lot.
Even cutting edge stuff, like using NFTs, those unique digital collectibles or token-gated access, where fans need a special digital token to unlock content. Platforms like Sound or Catalog are exploring that.
Interesting. NFTs for music access.
Yeah, and for messaging. That G-Ray record source has some powerful examples, things like Before the World Hears It, Known It.
Ooh, I like that.
Or Stream It Later, Support It Now. Or Create Scarcity, Only 100 Poppies, Then It Disappears. Or Frame It Bigger, Join the Movement, Not the Algorithm.
Join the Movement, Not the Algorithm. Yeah. That's strong. Okay, so let's imagine you did it. You dropped your track direct, fans bought it, maybe paid more than a buck. You made some real money. Nice.
Yeah.
But how do you keep that going? How do you turn those first buyers into like a long-term community? And this is where the sources bring this other really powerful idea, maybe often overlooked. They call it audience harvesting. Sounds a bit, I don't know, agricultural.
Ha, yeah, a little bit.
But what is it exactly? And why is it like the critical next step for artists who are serious about making this work long-term?
Audience harvesting, it's basically about being super intentional with growing and engaging your fan base, moving beyond just, you know, passively hoping people find your music.
Right. Less hope, more strategy.
Exactly. It means shifting focus away from just like sterile, overly polished social media posts, you know, just posting a show flyer and hoping people come.
Yeah, the flyer graveyard.
Right. Instead, it's about creating genuinely engaging, authentic content. The YouTube source talks about being entertaining or funny or educational, showing up as a real person.
Being human.
Yeah. The core idea is basically give before you ask. Offer value, offer entertainment, offer connection first.
And a key tool for doing this, the sources say, is live streaming. Why is going live such a potent path of least resistance for this audience harvesting thing?
Live streams, they create this immediate unfiltered connection. They make you feel real to your audience in a way polished posts often don't.
No, less produced.
Totally. And the sources remind us, hey, don't underestimate small numbers. 50 people watching your live stream or in a small room. That's actually a lot of people paying attention just to you, let alone, you know, 2,000.
Good point. 50 people focused on you is significant.
Definitely. And they mention using things like Instagram stories, which often feel easier, less pressure to create. You can save those and repurpose them for your main feed later. The main point is just show up. Directly meet people where they are instead of relying on like gatekeepers, labels, managers to connect for you.
Makes perfect sense. That direct connection again. And as artists lean into this, you know, being authentic, engaging live, the sources point to one crucial ultimate goal for this whole audience harvesting strategy. What's the thing that really cements the relationship, provides lasting value?
The ultimate goal, and this is like non-negotiable according to these sources for long-term success, is building your email list.
Ah, the email list, the old school champion.
It really is. While you're live streaming, you can directly ask people, hey, go sign up for my email list. That YouTube expert even gives a great example, like calling people out by name as they join the stream.
Oh yeah.
Like, hey, Johnny523 just jumped in. Thanks for being here, Johnny. Go sign up for my email list, pop back in the chat, and I'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, nice. Gamifies it a bit.
Exactly. That little incentive, it makes it fun. It drives signups right there in the moment.
So, okay, social media. It's like building your house on rented land, right? The landlord platform can change the rules, kick you out anytime.
Totally.
But an email list, that's like owning the deed to the land. You have direct guaranteed access. Yeah. It's almost startling how simple, but how powerful that difference is. But seriously, why is that list so much more valuable than having like huge numbers on TikTok or Instagram? Because, you know, for a lot of people, those big follower counts still feel like the ultimate prize.
It's critical for long-term sustainability, precisely because of that rented land analogy you just used. It's perfect.
Right.
Your social media following, poof. It can shrink overnight because of platform changes. Algorithms shift. And when you post something, there's zero guarantee how many of your actual followers will even see it. Could be like 5%.
Yeah, the reach is unpredictable.
Wildly. But with an email list, you have essentially a 100% guarantee that your message lands in every single person's inbox on that list.
Every single one.
Every single one. That means unparalleled control, direct access to your most loyal, most engaged fans. It is, hands down, your most valuable asset as an independent artist.
Okay, so bringing this all together.
Yeah.
What does this mean for you listening right now? Whether you're an artist trying to figure this out or just someone navigating this digital world.
Yeah.
How do you actually make this happen? What about like accountability?
Yeah, accountability is key. The source is really stress setting clear goals for yourself and then holding yourself to them.
Like what kind of goals?
Like have weekly check-ins, even if it's just with yourself. Review. Did I go live this week? Did I actively push people to my email list during that stream or in my posts? How many new signups did I actually get?
Tracking the numbers.
Tracking the right numbers. This consistent, deliberate effort, that's how you build that super valuable email list. And that's how this whole sell before you stream method really stacks together and starts making real money. And the encouraging thing is it works for artists at basically any level. Doesn't matter how big your fan base is starting out. It's about reclaiming value and connection.
So we've taken a pretty deep dive today into really flipping the script on how artists get paid, understanding that streaming, maybe it's more of a marketing tool, not the primary paycheck, and leveraging direct-to-fan sales, combining that with intentional audience harvesting, building that email list, it allows artists to actually define their own value on their own terms.
Yeah, it's about building a movement, like we said, not just ending up as playlist filler. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, zooming out a bit, it's really about empowering artists to think like strategic business owners, not just creators.
Quite CEO of you.
Kind of, yeah. And maybe this raises an interesting question for you, the listener, to think about. How could you apply this mindset, this idea of ownership before access, or cultivating direct relationships? How might that apply in other parts of your life or your work, especially where value often gets diluted by convenience or by intermediaries? What does it really mean to own the narrative in your own creative path or your professional one?
Owning the narrative. That's a great place to leave it. Lots to think about there.
Thanks for the love you bring my way. Through the beats and the grooves we sway. Every word you've heard and let stay. A part of you now, come what may. G-Ray Records, thanks for the spin. From the soul where the heart begins.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.